Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was time, my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not.
Like to call in on Facebook, or if you are streaming us live or whatever you're doing, if you would like to call in and participate within the show, you're welcome to call in. The number is 602-753-3017. I will repeat that, 602-753-3017. You can call in and you can be live and voice your opinion or anything you'd like to talk about, comments or just talk about your day at work or anything. If you're on Facebook and you want to just, you know, or if you're on the internet, you just want to listen to it on the computer, all you have to do is type in Blog Talk Radio, open 16. That's open/16. So I never say no one names or anything. I just go by your first three of your phone number. So if you'd like to call in, you're more welcome. I'm going to start the show off. Any conversation, we just talk about anything that's on our mind. Something that I've seen today that's kind of, you know, me and my cousin was talking about is the young lady that died in the hotel. And it's amazing how they have no footage that can support what happened to this young lady. So that's something that I've just been, you know, mind-boggled by. So we'll go on to the air and see if anybody else have any other comments or anything they'd like to talk about. So welcome to the show, Dan.
How you doing, Reggie?
You got it. How you doing?
Good.
So anything on your mind?
Just the pensions are always on my mind.
What's new with them?
Well, I'm just did a little research going through my paperwork here, and our labor's fund not only has custodial manager, which is Northern Trust, we also have transition management, a transition manager. Did you ever hear that? It's called...
No, I haven't.
Pansera Transition Management, and the amount of contract is not available. This was the year of contract was 2014. So that's the last that's posted on the labor's website, the LABF website. This was a while ago, so I don't know if they updated it in the last month or so. But here it is, 2017, almost 18, and they're still posting 2014. So apparently they don't want any transparency in the labor's fund. We also have another transition manager. It's called Loop Capital Market, based in Chicago. Not available on their amount of money they make. And we have Northern Trust, master custodian. Not available on what they charge or what their fees are. Not available. So this all should be open and transparent. And it's not. And I'm looking through all these. Also, we have Deutsche Bank, based in out of New York. One of their branches in New York, securities lending agent, not available their fees and commissions. So it's not available. Now we have these asset management companies and the amount of money they're investing for the pension fund, but we don't have their amount of fees and commissions. So we have the amounts listed what they're investing, but we don't know what their fees and commissions are. And this should all be put on the site, and it's not. So we'll have to dig into it, and like I say, if I get elected, I will make a motion to put all this out there publicly.
Wow. So basically people can't follow their own money.
No, you can't. You can't follow the fees and commissions. You can't follow what the managers are doing or how much they're making or if they're doing anything. So, no, you can't. The pension fund sends out a newsletter a year later. So we got one last November. Now we'll probably get one in December. They don't like to send it out in 12 months. They like to wait 13 to 14 to 15 months. So you might get it in January, February. And then they'll post 2016 earnings. Because 2015 were posted in the last one, which we got November. Let's see, when did we get it? I got it November. I got it written down here. It came in 11/18 of 2016. And that's for the fiscal year 2015, so that's almost a year later. And that's when the fund lost 10.8%. Let's round it up to 11% they lost. And I talk to people outside, people in other funds and have their own 401ks. They go, that's unbelievable. They never heard of any pension fund that lost 11%. None. I talked to like five or six different people in different pension and 401k funds. And they go, that's ridiculous. That's borderline criminal, basically. How do you lose 11% in one of the biggest bull markets in the history of our country? The market went from 7,000, dropped to 7,000, the Dow, in 2009, and now it's at 22,000 in 2017. So in 2015, they couldn't make any money. Since 2015, the Dow has gone up about 2,500 points. 2,000 to 3,000 points, and they didn't make any money. That's amazing.
Now, would this be a part of the responsibility of the broker that's investing it, or the president that allowing the broker to invest it?
Well, it's the company's investing, and that's their returns. That's what they report to the fund. Now, the fund can act and eliminate certain financial institutions that aren't performing. But I don't know if we'll find out in 2016. But the fund doesn't post it. You have to dig into that website. You won't get it from the newsletter. So you have to dig in. I spent a couple hours digging in and reviewing stuff and printing out stuff. And we have like 37 companies investing our money, and a lot of them are hedge funds. And, you know, it's hedge funds. They charge up to 20% in fees and commissions, but they're supposed to return like 20%. So, but apparently the hedge funds aren't doing their job either. We wouldn't have lost 11% if the hedge funds. We had like 7 or 8 hedge funds in the fund. And if they were, you know, and you pay a lot of commission, you pay up to 20%, and you cannot take your money out of a lot of these hedge funds. So why we have hedge funds is beyond me, because they want to build the fund up because it's bleeding. That's because Ron never funded it or daily, so they're trying to make it up in short order, in second work. You know, these New Jersey candidate for governor that ran against Christie says states should divest themselves of hedge funds. So they're doing it in other states, but not in Chicago. They don't want to do it in Chicago. In fact, each year we have, I believe, a little more hedge fund investment than the previous. So our hedge fund investment percentage. Go ahead.
Now, from my understanding, they still get paid, even though if they take a loss.
Oh, yeah, they get their fees and commissions. Now, if you lose your money, your wife's going to hit you on the head with a frying pan. But when they lose money, they get fees, commissions, and probably bonuses from their companies. CEOs get bonuses, whether they win or whether they make money or lose it. So guess who's paying these bonuses indirectly? The labor's pension fund. So this is where our money's going. And the secretary treasurer and the president, the board of trustees says it'll be insolvent in 2026 unless something is done. But that was last year. Emmanuel has since invested a couple hundred million into the fund, I believe. But that's still not – it's inadequate. And he's going to institute a cell phone tax to pay for labor's fund. Now, a cell phone tax isn't going to bring in a lot of money either. But, however, Mr. Mayor is going to fully fund the police and fire pensions, which are so far underfunded than the labor's. It should be vice versa. You know, he should fully fund the labor's fund because we're at 60-plus percent, where the police and fire are about 35 and under 50%. But he's going to fully fund them and screw the municipal and labor's. It's what he's going to do. And since he can't cut the cost of living, he lost in court twice, he's going to invest the money away. So all these companies that are investing and losing our money, I believe the fund will continue to use them until the funds run dry, until they lose. Oh, they lost 11% in 15. They might lose another 10 in 16. Who knows what? So say the fund loses 10% a year. In no time, that fund will be insolvent. And I would say 5-6 years if you lose that kind of percentages. So it's up to the fund to right the ship. Whether they do it or not is beyond me. I don't see it happening.
Wow.
I mean,
that's something definitely to think about.
Say you're a pension trustee. There's 4 appointed by the city, 4 by the union. Now, the 2 in the union have a double and triple pension. So do you think they care if the labor's fund goes under? They're getting a pension from district council in the union. Why would they care about the labor's fund? Oh, I'm sure they care, but they don't have enough skin in the game. Now, we should have trustees that only get 1 pension on the board, not 3 or 2, just 1, and vote in the interest of the member, the annuitants.
Well, once again, if anyone on Facebook or if you're streaming us live, if you'd like to get involved in this conversation, you're more welcome to call in 602 573-3017. If you are looking on the internet, you can type in Blog Talk Radio Open 16, open/16. I go by your first three of your number, not your name. So I'm going to welcome other callers in. And if you have anything like Dan's talking about the pension, if you want to talk about the teacher's contract coming up, or if you like to talk about just unions or anything about unions, or if you like to talk about the young lady that recently was found in the freezer and nobody knows what happened to her. So it's open for any conversation. So I'm going to welcome a new caller, 641. 641, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Reg? Hey, what's going on, Dan? You know, I just came in, midway when Dan was explaining about something's going on with you know, status of the pension and all. And every time I come on, I'm always getting information about it. I'm not a part of, like, labor or a serviceman union, but I can see that that is big revenue in the city of Chicago. And that the, these laborers and different trades are going to, catch the big one at the end. So what I heard was this, and this, so it's more like a question. So what I'm hearing is, like, these things, Dan's very well versed on it, and I'm sure he's not the only one. A lot of people know about this. And is Emmanuel going into these situations, like, blatantly knowing that this is going to, because I know he's a businessman at the end of the day. He's not a philanthropist and lover of people. You know, is he looking at this as far as, like, I know that there's going to be some people that's going to catch hell at the end of this. Or you think that it's just like he's just so business, he's not even thinking about the consequences. Because I don't know him, like, as far as, his fits and his motives. But all of these actions, I just want to know, is he really that, heartless of a person? And not just him, obviously, it's a machine that's going on. I mean, it's just not just him. I mean, he's just the guy signing the requisition and the documents and all. But, Dan, what do you think? I mean, is he, like, seeing the big picture of how this is going to be affecting
he knows
the regular man?
Yeah, he knows the big picture, but he doesn't care about municipal workers or laborers. He only cares about police and fire, their pensions, and his, his patronage army to ring doorbells. However, his patronage army, a lot of his patronage army is in the laborers' fund. So they're working against their own interests by ringing doorbells for him and his machine alderman. So this is what they want. This is what they get. Now, in 2014, the investment income, the fund made $53 million. Now, okay, they made some money. Now, 2015, they lost $22 million. I mean, so the employer put in almost $15 million, which is the city, in 2015. And the members, the workers, contributed almost $17 million. But with that loss, the total addition was only $9 million. Well, $9 million probably wouldn't even cover 1 month of pension checks for all the retirees. So we're in a lot of, I know Emmanuel funded part of the pensions. He funded, he was forced. He didn't do it out of the kindness of his heart. He was forced by law to fund the teachers' pensions twice and our pension fund once. Now he's going to do it again, try and do it without raising real estate taxes with the cell phone tax, but the cell phone tax won't cover. No, in short answer, no, I don't believe he cares. Like I was telling Reggie, if our fund invests its way to the bottom, that'd suit him because he can go in front of a judge and say, look, I have no money to pay these guys. What do you want me to do? And the judge is going to say, well, got to pay him something, but it won't be the whole check they're entitled to. I mean, what's the judge going to say? Look what happened in Detroit. They reduced the pensions in Detroit. You know, legally they can't do it here, but if you don't have the money, unless the fund takes over property, you know, as collateral, like City Hall, what a judge is going to say, well, it's just pay him what you can.
Wow. And, you know, that's the thing that's going on with this, the shutdown of the Illinois government. They were saying, like, hey, our people that we owe money to, it's just like, you know, they're going to get junk bond status. So that's an example of what can happen on that level. That's why I'm saying wow, because a judge would say it's like you can't get blood out of a turnip. So it's just like, hey, just give them something or promise them something. Like, and so there you go with the lawsuit thing. A lot of times when people get sued or it's losses. Even like, they got this thing in court, like even for death, wrongful death. You know, that's what happened with OJ. It's like, I feel like that you had something to do with it, even though you were found innocent here. So I want to file another lawsuit. So it's like people mess around and be in court for 10 or 15 years. Oh, I'm like, I won, but I'm not going to get my seven. So could that possibly be, how would you see, you're talking about retired, you're talking about guys that have worked, 20, 30 years, and now that the pension is depleted, is it possible that it would just be like, well, I have nothing for you, I owe it to you, and before you'll be dead before you see that money?
Well, exactly. It'll go in the court system. In the meantime, once it's in the court system, you'll have to work, you'll have to get a job, because if the city doesn't have money to pay you, it's going to wind its way through the courts. It'll take 5-6 years. What are you going to do? You have to obviously go out and get a job. Even if the judge rules that the city owes you all the back pay, you're not getting it right then and there when you need it. So you're going to have to go out and work. And you may get the full back pay. You may not. Chances are you won't. So, again, this is something for annuitants and workers that are paying in this pension fund to think about.
Then I have another
Go ahead. I'll be after you. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to run a scenario. I was seeing on the news last week that they had now got some allegations that the Olympic Committee that were the bid for Chicago to get the Olympics that year, I think 2016, come to find out there was some corruption there. There was some vote selling, and they were supposed to, Chicago was one of the top runners for getting the Olympics. And then, obviously, Rio got it and the rest is history, but they were saying that, they're doing an investigation. I don't know what's going to come of that, but I just want to run a scenario where we are right now. If we would have got the Olympics, it probably would have brought revenue for tourism and things like that. But it's like, would that would have benefited the, municipal and city workers as far as because look at all the city. I don't even know if it could have handled it. But I'm thinking from a labor or a working perspective, would that have been beneficial? I don't think we could have handled it is my answer. Do you think we could have dealt with the Olympics?
No, every Olympic has lost money except L.A. because they had the infrastructure back in 84. Every Olympic worldwide has lost money. Everyone. So the taxpayers would suffer. Developers would get rich. Oh, sure, the laborers and the workers would work a little bit overtime, but that wouldn't cover their tax burden to pay for the Olympics. So Daley and all his cronies, all these builders, developers, Walsh Construction would have made a ton of money, billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars, and we would have been left holding the bag. So, no, all the Olympics lose money. Utah lost money. I think China lost money back in China had the Olympics a few years ago. They all lost money, and Brazil's going to lose money. They're all going to lose money. L.A. is the only one that made some money because they had – this will be they're bidding for their third or fourth Olympics. So they already have the infrastructure so that, they don't have to hire insider developers to pay kickbacks to the mayor, to get construction contracts. In the meanwhile, cost overruns. So Chicago got beat at its own game, bribery. Chicago got outbribed by Rio. And Chicago's the papers came out in the papers. But Chicago got beat at its own game. It's called bribery. They couldn't bribe enough people to get it, and that's the way the ball bounces. And I'm glad we didn't get it.
I was just looking at the city, and if they would have had Chicago, you probably would have had to build an Olympic Village for all the athletes and big spaces. Yeah, would have had to tear down some things to make space for it. I don't think it would have worked in the first place, but I was just, but I guess you're right. Yeah, if the powers that be would have got it, I don't think it would have been good for us. We would still be recovering from it.
But that was just something interesting, Ray. I hope it wasn't off point, but.
No, no, it was on point. I was going to ask a question is, you mentioned the police and fire. Ron, it seemed like Ron Emanuel was very concerned about their pensions. But here's a question that I'm thinking of, and, you know, tell me how you feel or you can articulate what do you think. It seemed like the city is losing a lot of money on lawsuits because of the police and fire. Now, not so much as fire, but definitely police. Even with the damages of the shed that fell on a young lady and they losing $142 million. So it seemed like the laborers take the brunt of the punishment, but other departments lose more money than the laborers have ever thought about losing. Your opinion to that?
My opinion?
Dan.
Yeah. It's all these other departments, like aviation is funded from airport taxes. And those guys are all patronage workers, 90% of them, okay? Laborers aren't patronage. It was done when Harold Washington got in, they did it by a lottery system. You have a couple laborers that got in, but very few, you know what I mean? Everyone knows a couple that got in, okay? But this is still going on in aviation. You know, the federal monitor apparently isn't doing their job. So, yeah, what's happening is he wants to privatize sanitation because there's no doorbell ringers. There's no check writers that pick up garbage for them. Because you know why? They have to work 8 hours. Aviation laborers don't work 8 hours. They'll be glad to write the alderman and the mayor a check. They work about 2 hours a day. And they'll come out during and poll watch during election. And yeah, maybe do a little canvassing. Maybe. So this is what's happening. We're getting, the, like you said, the brunt of it. And these other departments are the cause of it. But they'll never suffer. They won't suffer until after sanitation and recycling go fully private, and then he'll have to pick on somebody else. When Emanuel came in, if the first act he did in 2011 was cut library assistants. Library assistants had made $17,000 a year. He cut them. He eliminated them. He's a tough guy. Then he privatized crossing guards. It was a part-time job. That's owned by a private company. Then he went after sanitation. Teachers. He went after teachers. His mantra of teachers, well, this is nationwide. It's not just Chicago with the charter school takeovers and the vouchers funded by billionaires to Catholic schools, and they get tax write-off. So he's all about the 1%, and the people that are helping him get elected are the middle class like you and me, but they're going to get burned severely. No, they're all making a good salary, and some of them are getting promotions. But if their pension fund goes bust, Emanuel and Daly will have the last laugh. They'll have rang doorbells and donated cash to these machine candidates for nothing because their pension will be bust. So I hope these guys out there that are still doing it in aviation and electric and all these other departments that don't have GPS, they don't have bosses hounding them 8 hours a day. I hope they wake up before it's too late and smell the roses and say, you know what, my brothers, the laborers are getting picked on. They're getting eliminated. They're getting suspended. They're getting fired. I'm in solidarity with them. But I don't see that happening until it happens to them.
Now, I want to make two statements. Go ahead. Andrew, I'm going to let you speak. Then I'm going to say a two statement to Dan. Go ahead.
No, this is you guys' area of expertise. But just something, and I don't know if it's relevant or not. I got a friend who posts, like, you know, jobs that are available, you know, to people, say, hey, look, you know, FYI, this place is hiring. And one of the posts I saw in there was that they were hiring de-icers, you know, where at one point, and my wife works in for one of the major airlines, and that used to be like a job that the city had, and then that the airline had. And then they start having the city, like, you know, clean the runways and stuff like that. I guess those aviation workers were doing that. But then that de-icer thing, they're privatizing that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm trying to say, you know, in their defense that they're getting cut too. But I don't know if you guys had heard about that. But, yeah, they're hiring, you know, some inexperienced people here. We're going to train you, you know, give you a couple of weeks training and then show you how to operate these trucks and get on these lifts and get the ice off the wings. So I think it's they're feeling some of it, if I'm correct.
I want to interject real quick, and then I'm going to go back to you, Drew. If you go to 95th and Cottage Grove and drive going west, start east and go west from 95th and Cottage Grove all the way to 95th and Western, they redoing all the curbs all the way down, and it's been doing by private firms. None of them are Local 76. None of them are our sanitation, curb and gutter. None of them. It's all by private companies. And if you don't believe me, drive through and you will see it for yourself. That's a fact. Now, there is another fact. The city hires so many forestry private contractors to cut trees down, and they use the excuse that they cannot handle the workload. It seems like you should give it to your own workers before you hire people from the suburbs. So that's something I'm just throwing out there. You know, I'm just throwing it out there so you can deal with it if you want. If anybody want to respond, you can respond, and I'm going to ask Dan something. Anybody want to respond?
Sure, I'll respond. Where's the union? Where's the local 1001 and local 73 letting all this privatization take place? They're not picketing. I don't see them picketing on TV calling for a protest downtown. I see other unions doing it. SEIU did it. And because they did it, their airport workers are now going to make minimum 13-something an hour because they protested. They sent flyers out in the ward I live. They had a picture of my alderman, picture of five aldermen that refused to vote for pay raises for O'Hare workers that were making sub-minimum wage. So SEIU sent two flyers out, and guess what? Our alderman took notice because it didn't make him look too good. So they finally gave them a raise because of SEIU. SEIU was proactive on that stance. Do you think 1001 would ever send out a flyer in your ward saying, no, we don't want one-man trucks. No, we want curb and gutter in-house. No, we don't want any more privatization. Hell no, they'll never do it because they all have second jobs on the side, catering businesses, consulting businesses. They're laughing at their members, and they're lying to them. So what does Skip have to say in Smoke about the privatization?
And now I want to throw this in the conversation. When you were talking earlier, we were speaking about the school teachers and police and fire, da-da-da-da-da, and a young lady made a post on my Facebook page, and she was upset about the CAPRI Act. She's like, why you guys are focusing on that? We need to focus on school teachers. We need to focus on the mayor, da-da-da-da-da. And I responded. And I said, that, you know, it shocks me that your union, 1001, do not support the teachers' union. And the reason I say that, because I was on the e-board many a time, the teachers asked for Great Lakes and Local 1001 to support them in rallies or dinners. And they stood backwards on doing this. They wouldn't support the teachers because they already got their deal with Ron Emanuel. So I let her know, and I said, you know, it's kind of odd that you guys don't support teachers and openly. You don't. You say you don't support the $100,000 salaries that all these aldermen are getting, but it was okay for all the union officials to get it. And she responded, well, that's personal. I'm not trying to argue with you, Reggie. But it's odd that certain things are good for certain people, but the peasants must stay in their peasant spot. So that's very odd. Now, you guys, you can respond if you like, but that's something I'm just going to throw out there. But my thing is, I want to tell any labor listening, why do you think Ron Emanuel would give you a higher salary than a teacher that's teaching the youth to become successful as a group of people? All you're doing is dumping sanitation equipment in the alley. Why do you think Ron Emanuel would do that? And what makes you think that a teacher don't deserve a fair wage? It's just mind-boggling. So if anybody likes to respond, you're more welcome.
Well, yeah, the teachers, tenure teachers make a good wage, but he's getting rid of all the tenure teachers. They don't have he's weakened that union through the charter school movement. The charter schools have put tons of pressure on the union. So yeah, he wants to hire kids out of college and get high turnover, just like the charter schools do.
They hire low-wage teachers. The owner of the charter school makes millions and millions of dollars, and the success rate is no better than public schools. So it's just a way of diverting public funds to privatization. So he wants privatization of schools. He wants privatization of city services. Why? Because these companies that receive the contract kick back hundreds of millions of dollars to him in sums, when you sum it all up, into his campaign. So he doesn't care about the working person. Look at the CTA. They took a vote. The train drivers, the engineers and bus drivers took a vote to strike. However, they have a no vote, no strike clause in their contract. But they took it just to show solidarity. It was over 95%. Now, why doesn't our union do that? Take a strike vote, even though you can't strike. And then the papers will publish, wow, these guys, 90-some percent voted to strike. Well, Ron, are you listening? That's the only way. You don't make gains with Rahm Emanuel by kowtowing to him and caving into him and getting your second jet, your consulting contracts, doing business with the city for yourself. How you fight the mayor is how SEIU did it. You embarrass these aldermen for not paying a decent wage, and then they change their mind. They'll vote. They brought a measure to the floor this week, last week, to increase the pay for those low-wage O'Hare workers to 13-something an hour, 13.50 or something. So this is how you get things done. You get things done by fighting for it. You don't get things done by giving all the benefits that the labor's accumulated over 30 years, giving them away in 8 years, 12 years, like our union did.
I totally agree. Drew, you'd like to respond?
Yeah, I think that, like, we live in a capitalist society. Obviously, you know, it's about who can make the most money and free enterprise. But this is not the type of field that you should be playing at. You got workers, like you said, teachers. I'm not even talking about tenured teachers, but even like these young teachers that come out of college, they want a job. And so, you know, if you're going to put them in a charter school or even in public school, have them just to make the entry level where you got a teacher that's been there, you know, 10 to 15 years who's making double, in some cases triple, of what you're making. So these people are trying to pay off student loans. They're just trying, so they just want to make it. So how could you be a capitalist in a situation where, like you're saying, you're educating children, you're keeping the city clean, you know, you're doing the things that the ticks that make the clock keep going, keep the motor running, and you want to just like screw these people? So yeah, obviously those people, including myself, it's like I have a family. I have a responsibilities that I have to pay, student loans that are like, you know, hounding on my back. These people that are, yeah, just getting all this money, the kickbacks and CEOs and politicians, I mean, it's disgusting. I guess I'm coming from an emotional perspective. But, yeah, you know, how could you, you know, to be a wealthy person and you're looking for more, more, more? You know, I mean, looking at they're on the Forbes list on the back of other people. You know, so it's totally disgusting, and I really see that it's not going to get any better, especially with Chicago. You know, they all they care about is the tourism and the big money and you know, look good for the cameras and things. But yeah, you know, this is on the back of people that just really want to survive. You know. And they actually are putting it in a situation where people are, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sound all like, you know, revolutionary, but it's like it's going to make people begin to do some irrational things.
And you know what? I want to piggyback off what you said. The union represents the members, but Great Lakes represents the union and tells the union how to fall in line and fall in step. Now, what I mean by that is when they start reading the numbers of the money, the union donate money to the aldermen. And a lot of the aldermen they're donating this money to, I mean thousands of dollars, are not really representing the members. They represent the platform or whatever their masses are telling them to do. And what I mean by that is right now the average laborer has been overworked with the one-man truck. They've been overworked. They don't do a great work cleaning base no more. They do a grid base. So now you're really not getting the service they're charging you for, as in, this lady's moving out tomorrow. We need somebody to go over and get a truck over there to her house to help her out and throw some stuff in. No, you wait till Monday. That's your day. You don't get that base of cleaning no more. The old lady that don't come downstairs because she can't walk downstairs, so somebody usually go up and grab her garbage for her. You're not getting that service anymore. Or a car accident just happened down the street. We need somebody to clean up. You don't get it anymore. Aldermans are selling us out. Now, what I mean, I wish that we had some kind of record of all the commissioners, and then we have who endorsed these people that's been commissioners, so we know what Aldermans, these commissioners' loyalty is to. And then when we start voting people out, we get them by commissioners and aldermen, because the commissioners are no better than the aldermen, and the commissioners are the ones to put the stress on the supervisor to keep their feet on your neck. So I'm going to let Dan respond, and if Drew, you'd like to respond, you're more welcome.
Yeah, you're very right, Reggie. The union is working against its members, and when it goes private, all these guys will have made all their money. Bob Cianelli will have millions. Will Irving will have three pensions. Skip will have two pensions, possibly. But he'll have his salary for 4 years at 100 grand plus his electrical labor pension. That'll be plenty to live on. But the members, you'll have to look for a new job, or you're going to take a wage cut. He's going to threaten to privatize in the negotiations unless there's a pay cut for laborers, for sanitation laborers. Now, it's going to be pretty hard to give water department laborers a raise and other laborers like department transportation laborers a raise if he doesn't give sanitation laborers a raise. So he'll want concessions, but he'll have to get them from all of them, all those, department transportation, aviation, forestry laborers, all these laborers. He can't just cut sanitation laborers only. I mean, that would, be illegal. But, the union can probably do anything they want. But, yeah, union supporting politicians that want to privatize laborers' jobs. And this is what members wanted because they voted these guys back in. Not all the members. A lot of members didn't want it. But most members wanted it, and most because they came out to vote these guys in. So they got 4 years of this, and good luck.
Yeah, I got a question.
I want to throw this out. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Drew. Go ahead, Rich. No, please, go ahead.
I'm going to piggyback. Hold your thought. I want to piggyback on what you were saying, Dan. Now, a lot of people don't know that everybody we're speaking of as union officials, they do not work for the city. They work for you, and their checks come from Great Lakes through you, your dues. So technically, the city can't do anything to them. So question, why are they so scared to fight for you? If they sucking up with their knees on for the aldermen and commissioners, why? You don't work for these guys. And I know why, because I sat on the e-board, and most of them are looking for that job when they retire. They can go right to the city, and they already been on their knees, and they can rub shoulders and get another job, because that's how greedy they are. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you want to respond, you're more welcome, because Drew seemed like he wanted to say something.
Now, I wanted to ask a question. I mean, yeah, that sounds logical. Like I said, this is you guys' area of expertise. I'm just a supporter. But can I ask the question, educate me, fleet management. Who falls under fleet management?
That's under street and sanitation.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Fleet management is under street and sanitation, but most of them are drivers.
Okay, you got the drivers are under there, like for trucks, and so the guys that are, working for all these departments, the fleet management are the drivers, like dump trucks and trash trucks and all, right?
No. No, fleet management
repairs. Because they're talking about drivers, and drivers is another union. Go ahead, Dan.
The fleet management repairs city buildings and equipment. Now, fleet management is left alone. We've had GPS on garbage trucks for years.
Fleet management has no GPS. I've seen them. They park it behind Police District 24 here on Lincoln Avenue for 8 hours a day for the last 3 years. They got their vans there. No GPS, no bosses. It's a patronage job. They're all politicians that give big money to the alderman and big money to the mayor. They're left alone. That department is never hounded. It's fully budgeted. There's never any layoffs from fleet management because they're politicians. There are a lot of Shackman-exempt jobs there.
Now,
you know what?
I want to throw this in there, too.
Because my eyes are watching, and the thing is, I mean, being the supporter of Street 1001, and then, like, you know, every time I see, a city worker or a laborer or something, I always, like, thinking, and I, you know, ask them a question or just like, hey, yeah. You know, I know guys that are, you know, involved in the union or involved. And I saw some guys that on the back of their neon, it says fleet management. And I'm like, who are these guys? You know, so I just, you know, I just wanted to know because I'm like, yeah, I don't hear us talking about, you know, fleet management a lot. But, okay, so I know now.
I'm going to break this down real quick, and I'm going to make a statement. One, I don't like talking about slavery because everybody can be a slave. Me and Danny, when we met, he told me about the Irish slaves. So everybody can be a slave, and we are slaves to our jobs. We are slaves to our jobs now. So if you have a slave that's making $100,000 a year, I'm pretty sure he's not going to rock the boat to mess up $100,000. And if you have a slave only making $30,000 at $19.50 an hour, maybe he will speak up. But if you put a 4-year probation over his head, and then maybe he will be quiet. A lot of people are scared to speak up. Now, what Dan's saying is fleet management, they straight. Aviation, they straight. They're not going to say anything. They got the beautiful salaries. They don't get sweated on the job. If you check the write-ups are lower in any of those departments. The write-ups are higher in sanitation. Check the DD. Everybody's getting hurt off working a one-man truck. My point is they're trying to eliminate the sanitation part of this job. Majority of the people, hey, I'm not going to use race because there's white slaves as well as black slaves, but lower-grade people that, hey, this is what they wanted to do. So they want to eliminate that. And what are you going to do with it? Give it to private companies in the suburbs? So my point is, I understand what you're saying, but I think the fight got to go back to the aldermen and the commissioners. And election time, the mayor. We can't change our situation if we don't vote people out. Any response from Dan or you, Drew?
Yeah, I totally agree. You totally agree. We're all slaves, and some of the slaves are in hell now, the sanitation laborers, but the other slaves, fleet management, aviation, department of transportation, they're going to be in hell later when their pensions are cut. They just don't realize it. They don't see it happening. Everyone's in denial. You know, I used to talk to guys at work, oh, they'll never privatize sanitation. We do a great job. People know our names, blah, blah, blah. Well, they privatized 2/3 of recycling. You know, I heard, oh, they'll never go to a grid. It'll never work. The alderman would never allow it. They're in a grid. So all this is happening, and these laborers and drivers that I know are still in denial. They don't think it's going to happen. And that's usually the mantra in private industry. The same situation happened in private industry. All these people in private, oh, they'll never privatize. And the only, so they didn't make plans for Plan B. And they privatize, and they're out of jobs, and then they're in shock. So that's what's going to happen to them. And they can't say they weren't forewarned. Can't say they weren't forewarned.
Well, it goes back to my point from the emotional side of things. You're right, Reggie. There are a lot of people. You fall into a position, whatever your job experience comes from, you get a call from the city. They, you know, open up a window to hire some people. And they're making more money than ever before. And then, yeah, you think, you know, if they are like a guy that doesn't have much education or experience, and now it is like, you know, maybe they're aldermen or someone was enabled them to get that job, they're not going to rock the boat. You know, it's just like the pension it was a comedian told a joke. He was just like, you know, these days, these young people, they don't want to put in any work. It's just like they get a job the first couple of months. They're like, hey, so when can I become a manager? Or when can I, you know, get to the front office? You know, you got, and so you got people, you know, like Dan is retired. That's like, you know, them, you know, been through, ready yourself, like, you know, not only just, you know, being a labor, but also like getting involved in the politics side of things. These are years in the game. And then they got a guy that comes in and, you know, someone hooked him up with a job. You know, he represents whoever I don't want to go into a mafia thing, but the boss that got him the job, you know, and he's not going to, like, say much. He's not going to go to bat for anybody. You know, it's just like cover your own ass type of thing. So that's what I think is happening. I mean, I don't even see it. It's like if you go on City of Chicago, you know, job opening, you don't see as many. And I'm telling you, because I go all the time. Even I remember at one point, Brady was telling me, like, hey, look. And I was like, hey, listen, hey, man, you know, you got any ways to get in? You know anybody or whatever? And your recommendation was this 2 years ago. It's like, go on to City of Chicago, streets and sanitation jobs. I mean, yeah, they might have that because that's for, you know, political reasons. They may post a job, but they already know who they're going to hire. So the guy that, hey, listen, I am a coordinator. I am a so-and-so. Go down there, and I'm going to have my friend pull your name. That's how jobs are gotten. So my point is, that's like if somebody pulls some strings to get you in, you know, you're not going to rock the boat. You just want to make that good pay. And guys that's been there for years, you get somebody come out on a truck with you or like, you know, now he's working with you and he's making just about what you've made. So, I mean, people are not going to rock the boat.
We got 10 minutes. Dan, give a shout out to what's going on with you and retirees. I'm trying to get retirees to call you if they have any questions. So give a shout out what you're doing, when is the election, and, you know, anything you'd like to say. We got 10 minutes.
Well, the trustee election for retiree trustee is Thursday, October 12th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 321 North Clark Street. That's the building our pension fund's office is in. Suite 1300. Need a valid photo. So what I'm doing is trying to hook up with retirees. It's kind of hard. I don't have a list, but I'm getting word of mouth out. The pension fund is going insolvent because of the mayor, and I believe because of investments by fund. And the fund is controlled. We all know the fund is controlled on the QT by the city, even though they're not going to admit it. As you recall, Daley got the fund to lend his nephew millions of dollars back in the early 2000s. So the fund is controlled by the city. Like I said, Ron Emanuel doesn't care about anyone in the LABF funds that have a Obamacare policy of $1,400 to $1,600 a month. He doesn't care about you. And the court date is, I'll be going to the court date. It's this Thursday, the 14th. The judge is supposed to rule, hopefully he'll rule on reconciliation for the pre-Korshak employees, which was before 1987. Those employees legally could not pay into Medicare and legally could not pay into Social Security because the city promised them a retiree health care package, which Emanuel eliminated in 2017 and made so expensive in 2014, 15, and 16 that he might as well have eliminated. So this is what the judge is going to rule on. I'm going to be there, and hopefully I can meet some retirees from the fund and let them know when the election is.
Well said. Now, Dan, let me ask you a question. Who will be eligible to vote in that election for you?
Just retirees and their widows, surviving spouses.
Now, will water department, would that be considered a person that can vote?
There's some laborers from the water department that are in their fund. Anyone in the fund. This is why I need help there to check the list. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they may try and send out voters that aren't in the fund. So we have to check their list and ID. So.
Wow.
Yeah, you need a valid ID, and we'll be checking the list. They'll have a list of who's eligible.
We got our last 5 minutes, and I'm going to give everybody a minute or two to say anything you'd like to close out. And one thing I want to say is I think it's a shame that the young lady passed recently at the hotel, and I wish somebody come forth and say something about it, because I do have a daughter, and I can feel the family pain. And, you know, because when my daughter go out at night, I always tell her, always go out with more than one or two people and call me every now and then. But it was just sad. So I want to send my blessings out for the family. So we got a minute or two, and I'm going to start with Drew the Barber, and then we'll go to Dan, and we'll close out. Drew.
Well, yeah, I definitely enjoyed the show, and I do send my condolences, and that's a very sad thing. And something that is relative to, like, some of the things we talked about, that city of Rosemont, it's all about appearance. They are not. They were trying to hide those things from those the family there, because they don't want. That is the hub, O'Hara International Airport. That's the first city you see when you come there. They don't want a bad black eye on that city, and I think that was one of the issues that played a part in trying to play that down. But you can't hide a bloody shirt. I mean, everybody's going to see it. So basically, it's a black eye. They were trying to cover it up, and I do hope that family gets its due justice that it is due.
Well said. Dan?
Well, yeah, a body found in the freezer. Now, that's in the basement where only workers can access. So there's something going on there that isn't there's a cover-up going on, and I don't think the hotel wants to pay any liability, and I think they're trying to cover it up. Someone's covering it up, whether it's a hotel or the politicians that run that town.
There you go.
Wow. So once again, this has been a successful day. It's a show. Dan is running, and we got to make sure if anybody, even if you can't vote, maybe we can just donate a couple of hours to stand out there with them. And it don't take much for a couple of guys come out there, and we pinpoint the corners. Just hand flyers out with Dan. So I'm definitely going to be out there with him. So if anybody else want to volunteer, I have his number. Just contact me, and I'll give you his number. So we're going to close out. Dan, you want to have any closing remarks?
No, I hope everyone has a good week, and stay out of trouble. And here's to the victims of the hurricane. May the losses be minimal. May their losses be minimal.
Well said. So thank you once again. I'm sorry I didn't bring that up, so I'm glad you brought it up, Dan, because I do feel for the hurricane victims. And it's a big thing with the governor right now, because he had to make some decisions on sending some more money. So that's going to be a big thing to watch. So thank you for bringing that up. So once again, thank you, and I'm going to play my closing song, and I'll see you guys next Monday. If anybody needs Danny's phone number, you're more welcome to call me. My number is 312-871-8331. I will give you his number for any volunteers for the day of the election. Thank you. Dan, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to play my song and we out.
Okay, good night to you.
I hear you, Dan. Good night to you, too.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear.